This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, October 14, 2020. The Memorial of St. Callistus, Pope and Martyr, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Those two readings today speak of not just speaking, but doing our faith. Not just talking the talk, walking the walk. But there's a line in the first reading that is kind of interesting. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's interesting because it's just not referring to talking about a faith that we have, but actually people who think that they're living in the faith. You can live in the faith, but obviously still not walk in the faith, because walking is something that we do all the time. I don't just mean the act of walking around, but we walk around when there's no one else present. We walk among people throughout the day, but then we walk around our house by ourselves at night. We need to understand that when we live and even walk among people, we have to walk the same way when we're by ourselves. This is the message. This is what our Lord speaks about in the gospel when he is confronting the religious authorities of his day with their malfeasance in talking about things, even living the life. Oh, you love the seats in the synagogue. You love to be greeted in the supermarket. It's more than just even living a faith. It is a matter of walking. That means doing it all the time. The whole motif of walking is the way we engage in this life. This is what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. When we look at that first reading, St. Paul writing to the Galatians, he gives us a list of things. And some of them are like Catholic no-brainers as far as things you don't do. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. Okay, those are, nobody does those things. And I will qualify, the older English versions get specific on the Greek, and it's not immorality, it's homosexuality, okay, specifically. And when we read that, and such as this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. However, let us not harp on just that and those people who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, because those are really bad things. We never think about doing those things. The list goes on. Enmity, being at odds with other people, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, being contrarians, fomenting arguments all the time, partying, carousing, spirit of envy, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When you start getting to that later part of the list, all of a sudden, it's like, maybe sometimes. Yeah, maybe. Really? Yeah, sometimes. Now, this shouldn't be the tremendous downer, because he starts us out by, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What do you mean by that? We are under the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that is infused upon us, within us at our baptism. when we look at this list that is, well, you know, almost everybody does something like that often. Yes. But if you live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, when you do those things, you're convicted of that sin, you run to the confessional, and you are not only absolved from the sin, but you receive sacramental graces to withstand the temptations that made you fall into it in the first place. We need to appreciate this. There are some people who read that list and say, I can't do that. I can't do that. No, that's impossible. You know, nobody can be that perfect. No, nobody can except our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was that perfect. He fulfilled this law for us. And if we live by the Spirit, again, we run to the confessional and we put it all at the foot of the cross. If we are truly contrite, if we have a firm purpose to amend our lives. When we do those things, we are living by the Spirit and we are not under the law. However, if you engage in those things, you separate yourself to a lesser or greater extent. Some of them completely separate you from the grace of Christ. The biggies up front. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. Those things are what we refer to as mortal sins. You can't mistakenly do that. You can't mistakenly commit idolatry. You can't mistakenly get involved in witchcraft. All right? Those things separate you from the grace of Christ. When you are separated from the grace of Christ, you cannot live by the Spirit. Consequently, you are under the law. And if you, as our Lord Jesus Christ says, violate the law in one part, you violate it all. You know, this whole cop-out, I've never killed anybody. Okay, and most people have offended in that when our Lord Jesus says, if you even think evil of your brother, you have broken that commandment. This is that be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We are perfect in our Lord Christ Jesus. This is wherein the perfection lies. This is why at the judgment seat we fall on our face before our Lord, because no matter how pious we were in this world, we fell short. But in union with him, it is the Father who looks at him and what he has done and not us. This is grace. I'm reading an excellent book right now. It actually pointed out that excuse that if someone would hypothetically use it before the judgment seat, because it's hypothetical, because there will be no excuses before the judgment seat of Christ. No one will try to excuse their actions. It's not like a court of law in our world where defendants stand before the judge and give him all kind of reasons why they did what they did, or all kind of excuses as to why it was okay, or lying and say, I didn't do it. All right? There's going to be none of that before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. There will be no excuses. We will be translated into heaven, everyone, both good and bad. They will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and in his righteousness, they will know that he knows all that they've ever done. He is the searcher of hearts. It will be like if you're watching a movie in IMAX of all the things you've ever done wrong that have offended Jesus Christ, and you're going to be sitting there looking at it. And you're not going to be able to say one word in defense of yourself. Not one word. This is why we need to be standing there with our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat. Because he focuses the Father's attention on his wounds and what he endured for us, that if we in faith and obedience embrace that, he is judged according to his perfections, not ours. So this book that I was talking about reading, when this hypothetical excuse, well, I couldn't be perfect because I'm a sinner, and I would, all that is committing another sin, because what you're doing there is you are negating and questioning the satisfaction that our Lord Jesus Christ earned for us. This is what we need to understand about grace. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who allows us to do the things that we can. He is the one who strengthens us through the confessional, through his Holy Spirit, the direction, the guidance the Holy Spirit gives us to overcome and to avoid these near occasions of sin. This is what we need to understand and appreciate about grace. Grace is the power given you, infused into you, that is constant with the Holy Spirit as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to avoid these things, to know that they're wrong. There is a second list in that first reading today. The things that we have by the fruit of the Spirit that indwells us, of which I speak. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. It's interesting that in our day and age, people will look at that list of things that are fruits of the Spirit, and they will use them to negate the things that were above. Like, that makes it okay. In my goodness and in my patience and in my kindness, I can never confront anyone with these sins. It's two different things. One list is committed when we do not live a life of faith, and the other list is when we do live a life of faith. One is not used to expunge the other. These are things that we have to check ourselves. When we go through that list of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, just like we could look at the other one, do I do that? The same with the second list. Do I do that? One is bad, one is good. This is why our Lord presents what he does in the gospel to these people who walk around thinking that they're doing all the good things. Yeah, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Pharisee. I don't have any problems. I wear all the stuff. They call me rabbi. I'm all about sitting in the first seats in the synagogue. I'm the one who reads. I'm the one who teaches. And the lawyers, the same thing. What does that mean? Our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, yeah, you like all those things, but I like how he says that. You tithe mint and rue and every herb. You do all kind of good things, but you negate and neglect the justice and love of God. You do things because you like to be seen by other people doing them. You do other things because you think it merits you something. Woe to you, Pharisees, who do that. So just because you live a very religious life, our Lord Jesus, woe to you, because you don't take it to the extreme of letting it encompass your entire life. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and salutations. Woe to you, for you are like graves which are not seen, and men walk over them without knowing it. You're not holy. You may look the part, but you're not. I like how the lawyers cop out on them, the legislators of their day. You know, these guys who tell you what the law says. Teacher, in saying this, you reproach us also. You know, they like throw their guys, the Pharisees, under the bus. Oh, that might be them. That's not us, right, Jesus? You know, you're not talking about, yet woe to you, lawyers, also. For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourself do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. You see examples of that in our own society, public life. Let me see. I won't name names. I think we all know legislators who tell, you should do this and you should do this because of the pandemic. You should do this and you should do that. And then they are caught not doing just the opposite. Hypocrisy. It's evil. It's evil. You don't say things and then not do them. If you sit in here, I go to the Latin Mass. I go to daily Mass. I wear a chapel veil. I say rosaries. I say novenas. That's good. It really is. But it better pervade your entire being. That's what they're there for. That's why we say rosaries and novenas. That's why we go to daily Mass, to gain strength and to live a life that is commensurate with living by faith and being led by the Spirit and not under the law. We are not here to dot I's and cross T's. We are here to be thankful for the law because it shows us how to live. Live a life of righteousness. Live a life of righteousness. Not go to the really traditional churches, or not to wear this or not wear that, or when I'm around other people, I don't talk like this or like, but when I'm by myself in the house, I look at this on the computer, I watch this on TV, I do this, that, or the other thing when I'm by myself. This is what Jesus is talking about, living a life of faith. St. Callistus, the memorial for today. St. Callistus, you know, he's not one of the biggies. I don't think many people could pass a quiz on St. Callistus. He's just a little man of faith. But he lived the life of faith. You know, he was a pope for 5 years over in a time and age where popes didn't last long. He lived the life of faith, and it cost him his life in this world. But now he's St. Pope Callistus. This is what happens when we live a life of faith. Yeah, when you live this life of faith, you might be beaten within an inch of your life for it and then thrown headfirst into a well. This is how they killed St. Callistus. Okay, what a horrible way to go. Think about that. You know, a well, how dark and chucked in there headfirst after being beaten with an inch of your life. Yeah. But now he's a saint. The way we live in this life dictates the way we're going to live in the next. We've got to prepare for that. And if we're just playing a show down here and not truly living the life that we try to purport to everyone, then there's problems. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.